Welcome to the Disconnected Gamers Podcast, episode 52, where we connect with, well, we reconnect with life and gaming.
Reconnect, yeah.
I'm one of your hosts, Andrew. Mike, shut up. God damn it. I'm one of your hosts, Andrew, also known as J-Bond. With me, as always, the host with the most.
Still not J-Tight.
Nope.
It's your boy, Mike. And one day we'll have J-Tight.
That's true. And one of my good friends, special guest, friend of the show, Doc Gamer Sam. Say hello.
Hello. Greetings, Earthlings.
You may know Sam from the tester. It was season one, right? Mike and I were
season
debating.
One, yeah.
Nah,
I mean, it was season one.
Yeah.
Season one.
He said season
two.
I went back and watched it again. Season one of the tester, Sony's reality TV show. So we'll start with your topic because you are our guest and we are your host. What is your topic?
My topic is really, I think it's kind of concerning for all gamers as things get more expensive and products get more convoluted in their pricing, is the ecosphere of microtransactions.
See, we wanted to talk about this, and it's good to have another like perspective, because my whole problem with microtransactions is how pissed off people get about them. Because 9 times out of 10, I generally don't have a problem with them, because most of them don't break the game. But then
exactly. There's
that whole meme of like the hamburger, and it was like what you used to get for a $60 game, and then it's like what you get now with a $60
like
game, and it's just
the bread
is the $60, and then everything else is DLC.
Right, I've seen that. It's actually a great depiction.
It is, yeah. So I mean, so what are your like? Let's hear it. Lay it on me.
Okay, let's take World of Tanks beta that's out right now, right?
Okay.
If you look, the game's free, right? You download it for free, but you can pay $129.96 for their premium package.
Ooh.
And it's really not that great. I mean,
so,
you get some. Go ahead.
I was just saying, you're basically just paying for the game then.
Is it like
Is it like
Battlefield Premium? The same kind of idea?
No. This is just they just give you extra in-game stuff. It's not like, you know, Battlefield Premium actually wasn't a bad idea.
Mm.
And there's really, I know I'm just venturing into World of Tanks myself after meeting the guys at the PlayStation Experience.
Yep.
And it's I've played it a couple of times with some Battlefield guys, and it's actually a lot of fun. But I cannot even see where paying $130 would benefit me in any friggin' way. Because now, I mean, they have a different sort of microtransaction in there, where gold you get from playing the game, you can actually convert to XP in the game. Now, of course, the exchange process is worse than changing Canadian money to American money. The exchange rate is ridiculous.
Yeah, you get 100,000 XP. It's like GameStop. You know, oh, you want to trade this brand new game? We can give you 350.
Now, you take games like what David Jaffe's working on, Drawn to Death, right?
Yeah.
You're going to get that for free. But then if you break down what $60 of microtransactions are going to be, that pretty much will equate to what you would have paid for a full game. And you still get a full game experience without feeling that you're missing anything.
Mm.
So, I mean, I don't personally like microtransactions. I like to buy my game and then have what I have. Maybe I'll buy some DLC later. Maybe I'll get a season pass, you know. I just think there's a lot of fine tuning, and the thing is, it's big money maker for game companies, because I mean, you think about it. I forgot what the price was that Microsoft paid to have Call of Duty put onto their system, and they pretty much made their money back making the game there, and then went over the top with microtransactions, because people had to shoot someone with, like, you know, the ball skin. You know, whatever it was, on their weapon, and there's good and there's bad, but I don't know. It's, if done properly, it's it's actually a pretty cool thing because you get the game for free, and then you really can choose what you want. It's not like, you know, they gave you a game with a bunch of shitty stuff. You're like, oh no, they gave me this free game, and I customized it by paying my own money, what I paid for a full game, dropped that into there, and I got exactly what I wanted.
Right.
Does that make sense?
That's not bad. Yeah,
no, it makes sense. It's I talked about this at one point with Counter-Strike GO, right? The game has been out forever, and it's only like $15 for the game, but the, like, you know, how do you keep making money on a game that's a decade old that really doesn't have to change much? And it is through microtransactions. But like you said, it's nothing that changes fundamentally the way the game works. It is you're choosing to support them by purchasing stuff that just makes it look better. You know, it's more, it's like fun stuff. Like when you buy,
it's not just cosmetic changes.
Right. It's, well, in CSGO, it really is. It's all cosmetic. You can buy the different, like, you know, skins for your guns, skins for your knives. But there's also the cases and stuff that you get dropped. So you'll complete a couple rounds and you'll get a chroma case. And when you open the case, you have a chance for getting a new skin for a weapon or a new knife or a stat track weapon or whatever. But you got to pay $250 to open the case. So the game's rewarding you with the thing that you have to pay to unlock. Which is weird. But
that is weird.
I did it. I was like, you know what? I like this game. I want to try and get a cool new gun so that I'm not using the standard, you know, weapons. I want to have, like, cool, you know, painted weapons with all sorts of nifty designs on them. So I spent $5 and I opened two cases. And then I went and sold a bunch of that stuff in the Steam marketplace, and then went into the Steam marketplace and bought some new guns that were like dirt cheap. I think I spent like 50 cents on a pistol, but it has a stat track on it.
Now
it keeps my, every time you get a kill, it's got a little screen on like the side of the gun, like a digital counter, and it counts how many kills you have with that gun. Mm. So now when I play the game, I'm like, oh, cool, I have like 52 kills with this gun. And anytime somebody picks that gun up, they see that my gun has 52 kills on it. And that's kind of, it's neat, right? But it doesn't affect whether my gun is now more powerful or more accurate. It's the same gun you would have just with a skin on it.
Right.
Just imagine if, because Call of Duty, you know, they're doing their microtransactions like they normally do.
Right.
But imagine if they were to put out, like, say, hey, you know, prestige level, you want to be prestige level 10. We all know it takes a ridiculous amount of XP to prestige. But they're like, so prestige 10, you pay $90, you're prestige 10. You know how many people would buy that? You know how much money they would make?
And it makes it's me, true. It's okay. Just, it's like, but it's like bragging rights. I always hated that whole concept of prestiging, because it's like, hey, you've grinded your butt off and you've unlocked all the stuff that you want. So just voluntarily choose to reset yourself back to base stats. To
just
do
so
it
you can
all
have
over again, just so you get like a little tiny emblem next to your name. I have and every time I'm like, you know what, I'll do it. And then I regret immediately doing it. Happened in Call of Duty. It happened in Uncharted.
It's like being in a horrible relationship. You try and try and try and try. Then at the end, they beat you down, take all your shit away, and then you have to say you're sorry and try again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't even get to say sorry. You just have to do it all over again. You're like, I want my stuff back. I want my taped mags, please.
It's just funny. These dudes are like, I got gold guns. Well, I stabbed you with a knife.
Yeah, like you got gold guns, and they are no more powerful or accurate than the one that I have. That's just the stock weapon. And guess what? Like, it's one of those things. Conceptually, I don't get it, but it's because it's a video game that it works. Like, the military would never. 90% of what happens in these games isn't realistic. Like, we would never just run into a room and hope that we kill somebody, because you would end up dying. Like, you wouldn't just be like, I'm going to do it. Like, jump-shotting. Shoot. You know? It's like, you don't get to choose, like, okay, I'm just going to run with a pistol and a rocket launcher. Like, that doesn't really happen. So it's one of those things where I'm like, I wouldn't want a bright gold weapon that's going to reflect off the sun.
Like a diamond.
Yeah, like, way to give away my position.
There's this great meme, and I didn't save it the other day, but it was friggin' hilarious, and it shows eight guys stacked up ready to breach a room, right? And above their heads, there's like, you know, Prestige 1, Prestige 2, Prestige 3, and then there's like new guy. And everyone's geared up and has all these weapons, but the guy in the front's naked with a handgun. And I was like, that is an awesome statement on microtransactions right there.
Pretty much. I mean, and that's
kind of how
thing.
It is, yeah.
Well, but some games do it right. Like, I think Counter-Strike has managed to keep people entertained with a game that really hasn't changed much over the course of 10 years. And I'm sure some huge CSGO fan will, like, comment and be like, no, you're wrong. Really, right. It hasn't. Like, I have not had to really, like, relearn the game in the last, you know, few weeks that I've started playing it again fairly actively from when I played it when I was a teenager in high school.
Well, because there's nothing you have to buy to relearn.
Right?
It's
like,
just...
nothing. Like, there's new game modes. There's new custom maps that people have built. But the fundamentals of the game have not
changed.
It's
still there, yeah.
It's just whether or not I want my stuff to look cool.
It's up to you, that choice. Yeah. It's like...
It's incredible how much some of this stuff is worth, though. Like, if you go on the Steam Marketplace, there are karambits and knives that you can get in the game that are worth like $400 in real money.
Jeez.
Because they're that rare. Like, different pistols, different rifles with certain skin sets are worth hundreds of real US currency. And like, you have a chance to get those from a $2.50 case. And that, I think, the allure of potentially getting one of those weapons is probably why people do buy into these cases. I mean, it's no different than, like, Hearthstone packs. Like, Hearthstone, perfect example. It's, you know, in theory, yeah, you could get certain cards that are going to make you, you know, have a much better deck to compete against someone with. But ultimately, you're just paying for cards in a deck that you, with enough grinding, can unlock them for free. It's easier to just buy a bunch of decks for a couple bucks and try your luck.
Right.
Or card
it's like
packs,
a pay to,
not decks.
Pay to win situation.
Well, you're not paying to win, though. You're just buying an extra set of cards.
No, I know that. I'm saying
card
it's not
deck...
like a pay to win. Like,
yeah,
some
exactly.
Games are.
You know, I think that's a really good method. Destiny, I think, is you know, same deal. You're paying for a taunt. You're paying for
level
an
up
emote.
Right.
Oh, right. Now you can buy. Ups. Oh, that's right. Now you can pay to level up.
It's like $25, I think, or something like that.
Well, you get the when you buy the Taken King, you get a spark to go right to 25 if you want to, so that you can. And the whole reason I think they did that was so that you could just skip the original story
and just go straight into the Taken King.
Go right to Taken King.
Yeah.
But let me quickly check. I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean, do you play Destiny? Obviously. I mean, are you gonna regrind characters? Or are you gonna pay some money?
Well, see, all my three characters are the max level right now, and I quit playing
so
3 months
matter.
Ago.
Yeah.
I was because, you know, the MVPs got access to that, you know, the PlayStation MVPs got access to that before launch day. So, you know, I had a lot of time to work on my characters. And the thing is, I played nothing else besides Destiny for a year. For a year, dude.
Dude, I played a lot of it too.
Andrew still plays.
But I played it a lot and accomplished nothing. And I only ever played on one character. I just recently finally went back
and
to
made
make
a
my. Well, I need. I want to get the trophy. I wanted the trophies.
Dude, I'm one trophy away from platinuming, and
yeah,
I'm just like,
Flawless Raider. That's what I need.
I think that's all I need.
Oh no,
and
I need
level up Titan.
You need.
I need to capture like 20. Control points or something like that.
Okay. It's one of the multiplayer
easy.
Ones.
But one, that's I just how much I'm not playing Destiny, and that's two, how much I give a fuck about trophies.
right.
Yeah, I don't care. Like, I don't care as much about trophies until I realize how close
how
I
close.
Am.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I'm like, oh, crap, I should.
Yeah.
I should just finish it out to get my
like Borderlands or whatever.
Well, that was my thing with Borderlands.
I think I was. Help me get the one away from that killing Jimmy something.
Yep.
Ugh.
Yeah. Okay, so here so you can boost a character to level 25 with a subclass. So it's this consumable pack contains a level 25 boost for a one hunter, a subclass boost, and telemetries. $29.99. There's one for the Titan and the Warlock. So for $30, you can boost yourself right into the Taken King. But then the rest is on you.
I don't know.
I mean, I can't see myself paying $60 for a game and then paying another $30.
Because the base game itself is already $19 anyways.
That was a huge slap in the face, though, because they were like, oh, no, we want you to repay all this fucking money after you paid all this other shit. And then they're like, and next week we're throwing microtransactions in. Suck a dick.
Right. That's my thing, is people always complain, but they buy it anyways. And that's my problem with Call of Duty. Everyone's always like, I want Call of Duty to change. And it's like, shut up. No, you don't. Because every time Call of Duty tries to change anything, you freak out, they change it back, and then we're in this cycle of just constant
vicious cycle,
bitching.
Yeah.
You know, but then it's like, if they were to just, well, it was like the single player campaign. So many people are like, why is there a single player campaign? I never play it. And it's like, well, if they broke the game into two halves and it was like $30 for the campaign and $30 for the multiplayer, but the legendary edition was $70 and it was both anyways, you would buy that anyway, so it's a moot point.
Because you get the multiplayer, whatever, DLC nonsense with the exclusive stuff. I don't know, whatever.
To put your fucking
I always
on the
played
wall.
A single player.
I always did too.
I thought 3 had a great single player, by the way.
You mean Black Ops 3, I assume.
Or Black Ops 3, yeah, had a really good single player.
Yeah. Good job, Michael Bennett.
So as far as microtransactions go, I think people have a right to be upset when they are sticking it to you for no reason. But at the same time, 90% of what you see with microtransactions is, generally speaking, attainable without paying the money. It's just whether or not someone wants to jump ahead. But usually, there aren't that many opportunities where you are paying to be way better than a character, right? Because obviously, in Destiny, the multiplayer is built around, you know, generalizing all the players. So it's, you know, if I boost to 25, but I go in as a level 5, we're on the same page. Obviously, Iron Banner, then your levels would matter. But in that sense, it's like, yeah, if you want to pay to skip ahead all that grinding, sure. And the only reason I don't care that much about the Destiny one is because people pay for, like, World of Warcraft accounts that people are just, that's their day job, is grinding out accounts, and then they sell the accounts. You know, so that someone doesn't have to grind to, I don't play these games, so you grind to whatever super magic character with spells and potions and I don't fucking know.
some shit
that just makes it so you don't have to spend hours wandering from point A to point B. It's like, I don't know. My whole thing is I won't pay, I will not buy into microtransactions unless unless for two reasons. One, I want to support the company and I want to support the game, right? So, like, Drawn to Death, perfect example, right? If you are a fan of Jaffe and you're a fan of his games and you want to help him make money because the game is free, buying add-ons gives them money. You know, whether or not it's just a cosmetic item and it's 99 cents, like, that helps them, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when you think of, like, Uncharted 4, you paid $60 for the game and there's multiplayer, but in theory, for long-term development, if you, you know, I mean, I don't think Naughty Dog's going anywhere, but, like, if you want to help keep them interested in creating new content for the multiplayer, you would buy a 99-cent taunt or
hat.
Whatever.
A hat. Yeah, right.
You know, like they did it in The Last of Us. You know, the World of Tanks thing, $130 sounds real steep.
That's a bit steep, yeah.
And I wouldn't buy things Call of Duty and Battlefield both have, like, the premium services or whatever. Didn't Call of Duty get rid of theirs, though?
Something like that.
Call of Duty XP or whatever it was. I don't remember.
Oh,
Elite,
no.
I
was a founding member of that.
Really?
Of Call of Duty Elite.
Elite. That's what it was. Elite. Yeah.
That was actually a pretty good service because it was free for one. When they pulled the founders in, everyone got, I still have my Call of Duty founder card. And and they give you like all sorts of cool in-game stuff that showed you you were a founder. And then they charged a little bit for it at one point, which was still worth it because they just give you, like you said, it was just cosmetic things, you know.
Right.
And but it was still fun. It was a fun thing.
Right. It was like, well, even in though Battlefield. No, go ahead. Sorry, I thought you were done.
No. I was gonna say I was actually gonna bring up Battlefield. So go ahead.
Battlefield, you know, Battlefield Premium just gave you like extra battle packs, which is like
maps, just, battle packs,
right?
And
you get the map packs and all that stuff, but I mean like more in terms of what you know is worth potentially game breaking free stuff. Like the battle packs isn't a guaranteed anything. Like I've opened so many battle packs in Battlefield that were for weapons and stuff that I never use because I pretty much only roll like the same three weapon sets in every game I play. And it's like an M4 variant, a 1911 variant, or, you know, like a Beretta-style pistol, and, you know, like one rocket launcher-type weapon. And it's like anytime I get stuff for snipers in battle packs, I'm always like, God damn it. It's like, just give me all the different camos that I can put on my guns and change them out. I don't want the sniper rifle scopes and infrared scopes and all that junk. But, like, the battle packs, you're just getting additional battle packs with premium. And, you know, the additional boosts for XP, which you still have to play to earn it, right? It's like it's giving you an XP boost. It's not just throwing experience at your character. You know, you still have to go play matches. You just get extra experience on top of what you would get anyways.
Four, I know. No, in four, you got experience boosts. At least I
really
did. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I never subscribed to Battlefield Premium because I
always... Oh, well, then maybe that's why.
I always... my whole feeling with those types of things is I know that, like, I'm going to initially play the hell out of a game and then stop. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to... I'm, like, on Destiny, if there was something like that, it probably would have been worth it. But on Battlefield, I stopped playing Battlefield pretty quickly into that. I mean, I played Battlefield 4... because it was one of the only three games I had when I got my PS4.
Right.
But I still never beat the campaign.
Still never yet.
Never beat Hardline either.
I always played the single players.
I started them and then always ended up going to Destiny. Like Battlefield 4 I just gave up on. But any game I play, I'm just like, I can just kind of mindlessly play Destiny. And that's a really shitty thing to be like, I can mindlessly play this game for little to no, like, forward benefit in the game because I've kind of done everything and unlocked everything, but I still go and play that game. So I've been forcing myself to not play Destiny.
Play something else for
once. That's why I started playing Uncharted 2 in the Nathan Drake collection. I'm pushing my way through all the games again. I don't know. It's like a gaming rut.
Yep.
But, no, I mean, I kind of agree with you. I think that microtransactions, if they're done well and they're based around supporting the developer, I think are fine. You know, cosmetics and things like that that don't change the way the fundamentals of the game exist, totally cool with. Everything else can kind of piss off. And I really hate the stupid map packs. Hate map packs. Stop
basically
doing it,
stuff
developers.
That should be in the game already.
But just don't tell me that, like, hey, we've released this new game. It's got
here's
multiplayer. Here's four maps. If you want the next three maps, it's $15. Fuck you. That's my response. Hate it.
Well, so this is, at least it's not about the Battlefront.
Why? What's
Ooh.
I don't have Battlefront, so tell
$49.
me.
$49.99 season pass.
Okay, $50 season pass.
$50 season pass. And two, when you're playing the game, you're not really playing a full map of anything.
What do you mean?
You're playing on sections of, like, when you go to Hoth, you don't get like a Hoth map. You play in a section of Hoth.
Meaning that there's another section of Hoth that you're going to inevitably have to pay for, or you just never actually
with the season pass.
Basically, yeah.
So the only way to get the extra maps is to pay the $50.
Yep.
Yep.
That's...
That, and they haven't really said what is actually on the season pass.
That kind of sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks because that's a lot of money. to just have to shell out immediately after you buy a game. Is there any sort of, like, outline of continuous content and maps, or just that right now you only know that it's $50 and you get, like, the remainders of existing maps that already happen in the game?
Well, actually, they haven't specifically said what you're going to get. They just want you to pay them the fucking money.
Ugh, yeah. I don't like that. Basically, EA Dice.
And I'm guessing that there's going to be a point where if you don't buy the season pass, they'll take it off the store, and then you have to buy it all individually at a much higher price. Probably. Yay! I still can't, well, like, when, Mike, when you got me the season pass for Dying Light, I was not expecting the season pass to even still be available. Because we're almost a year through the game. The seasons, generally speaking, go for
usually,
like,
yeah,
one
they,
year.
They'll discontinue it, but nope. Still going.
Sweet. Fucking microtransactions.
Definitely a huge hit and miss, but I agree with both of you about the whole, if it's done correctly and does help the developer, then I'm all for it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and again, for the people who bitch about it, just don't buy them. If it really upsets you that much, buy it.
Right.
Like, nobody's holding a gun to your head and saying you buy that 99-cent hat.
Yeah, they're not forcing you to buy the game or the map pack or you know.
But obviously, if in Battlefront, it sounds like they are forcing you into this position of, oh, you want to play other maps with your friends? Well,
yeah,
you're gonna have to shell out $50.
Yeah,
that blows.
Rebuy the game essentially.
Yeah. Well, that was the whole Destiny thing. It's like you know, most people have to get the Taken King have to, like, rebuy the game entirely.
Oh, right, because you're locked out, yeah.
It's like that's...
Or at first, I don't know if they changed it.
It's, like, so dumb. Like, you should just put some... Whatever. I don't do it. It's not my job, but... Anyways, I... Yeah, I don't know. moving on! Mike, what's your topic?
Oh, man. So I saw a trailer for Monster Hunter Cross Mega Man, and it made me think, if you could put any universe together, what universe would you guys put together? Like, video games, whatever.
So, you know, like, I could pick, like, Rambo Cross something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anime and porn.
Yeah, that all exists.
There it is. That exists.
Just don't ask me how I know, but it exists.
It's on the internet.
It's on the internet somewhere. So I can put.
Okay. Well, let's keep it simple. Let's put video games in.
Okay. I can mix video
like
any...
a favorite franchise, and then boom, something else. So like Uncharted and Tomb Raider.
Would an example of what you mean by this be like Hyrule Warriors, where it's like Zelda mixed with Dynasty Warriors?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. Man. I want to put Uncharted with something. I would love to put Uncharted in with Halo, but I don't... The games are effectively the same anyways. You know, it's just... Putting universe. Uncharted in space is really...
Right, yeah.
It's like Jumanji in space, but it's Uncharted. if I was going to cross it with an... And that's the thing, right? Pokemon already exists as a game. But if I could put... This is...
It's a tough one, isn't it?
All right, Sam, you go. I got to think about this.
Wow, I was trying to think about it too. I was like, man, what would be a good...
Well, because I was like, oh, I'll do Pokemon with, like, an RPG. Oh, wait, familiars exist in things like Tales of Zillia.
Nukuni.
I would actually... There's a game. It's called... it's not Virtual Fighters. It was a Vita game. And you could put your face on the characters, and it would wrap it on the characters that you would fight with.
Wait, was that the, like, VR, AR card one?
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. It was, like, one of the launch titles.
I would combine that and Dead Space.
Ooh.
Oh, man, so you were playing Dead Space, like, as yourself?
Yeah, and then you could put, like, say you have an ex that you can't fucking stand. You put her face put on every his... fucking creature that comes out. Just fucking cut it in half.
I like that.
problem with the boss at work? Upload that photo.
Yeah, exactly. What are you doing? Nah, don't worry about it.
Not that we condone that.
Right.
Right. Right. Yeah, I don't know. Like, see, that's the thing, right? It was like, I would like, see, I would like, take Bad Boys 2 and make it a video game.
They did that, though. There is a Bad Boys video game.
It's basically Battlefield Hardline, but, what do you mean there's no real Bad Boys video
game? Oh, yeah, there's a license, I think it's a licensed movie game.
Really?
I mean, I don't think they got Will Smith or Martin Lawrence. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure there's a Bad Boys video game.
Weird. I remember a really bad licensed video game on the PlayStation was 007 Racing. Ugh.
Oh my God.
I loved that game, even knowing how bad it was. It was one of the first games I got when I got a PS2, because I couldn't afford PS2 games, so I went and bought a couple PS1 games. Obviously, Medal of Honor. That's a franchise I would love to see come back, would be the original Medal of Honors, right? Just Back to World War II. Give me Medal of Honor and Medal of Honor Underground. Give me PS4 graphics. Fucking make it VR. I don't care.
Oh, that's weird. They had a game close to that called Wolfenstein.
Yeah, Wolfenstein's not the same thing. It's not the same thing.
Really? Grenades, Germans, killing, FPS.
Panzer Shreks.
Yeah, exactly.
Nazis. I don't know, I just like really dig. And you know what I thought was a really great game that apparently nobody else thought was the new Medal of Honor that they made like a modern take on the series? I thought it had a phenomenal story. Again, nobody plays the story games, so that's probably what the big issue was.
What game were you talking about?
Medal of Honor. It was EA's modern take on like combat shooter.
Like a reboot.
Yeah, when they rebooted it, it revolved around like special forces missions overseas.
Tier 1 operators. I love that game.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was unbelievably well done. The story of the game, and I thought the gameplay was great too. I mean, it was basically just like Call of Duty, but it just felt more defined. Everything felt more deliberate, whereas Call of Duty just kind of feels like they had something good with the first ones, and they just kind of kept that formula going. Not much really changes about the way the game feels.
Feels like all their guys played the Medal of Honor that we were just talking about, but then have a serious affinity for Jerry Bruckheimer explosions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like in fucking Michael Bay.
Michael Bay, right? Yeah.
Everything has
Michael
to
Bay
explode.
And
walking
Jerry had
away
a baby.
From explosions. I've never really got the hang of the wall jumping thing either. Like, it's fine. It's a cool mechanic, but every game, and this totally has nothing to do with, you know, crossing two video games together, but I don't get why every game now has a super. Every single game has a super, right? It started with Call of Duty with like kill streaks and kill crates. And then it became like in Destiny, you had your super ability as a hunter. And then Call of Duty Black Ops, it was like you've got all the different ones you can pick. And like one dude has the gun that'll kill you in one shot. And then there's like the lightning ground pound, which is like a Titan.
Right.
And then in Uncharted, you can call in the support buddy, which is kind of like a super. It's really weird.
Halo had supers as well, or I think
Halo
started
5?
In 4, I think. 5, 4, and I think 3 all had supers. Or no, Reach online had some form of super. Yeah, some kind of form of supers.
I don't, I mean, it's fine. It's just another way to expand the game.
It's not a mechanic.
It's weird.
It's weird
when you start to look at how similar all of them are across the different games. Because it's like you
like they're different, but they're still the same.
Well, it's the same concept, right? Like in Call of Duty, it's like you've got the golden gun equivalent, you've got the ground pound equivalent, and then like the support equivalent of like, you know, the bow and arrow or like the extra radar stuff. It's like,
yeah.
Apparently only three things that anyone has ever figured out you can add to a game. You can add it to give your character more power. You can give your character the ability to disperse a group of enemies when you're outnumbered, and then heal them. That's it. That's we've run out of ideas. So to answer your question, your initial question, Pokemon and I some sort of shooting thing. Can I shoot Pokemon?
It's like a hunting game, essentially.
No. Oh God, I figured it out. Here it is. I'll lay it out on you.
It's like Cabela's the Pokemon.
big Pikachu hunter. No, it's so you've got your Pokemon that you use to fight if you want, but then you can put the Pokeballs in this weapon that shoots their power. So, like, if it's Pikachu, it shoots electricity. If it's Charizard, it shoots fire. And then we're going post-apocalyptic. There's not that many Pokemon left. So now you're going out to kill the other trainers and take their Pokemon. And I don't know who the bad guy is, but yeah. So you're going, instead of you fighting the Pokemon against each other, you're trying to kill the other trainer.
Interesting.
It's like, think Pokemon Stadium, except instead of you and the other trainer just standing there, like, you got to run and dodge all this shit.
You actually, like, duking it out.
Yeah.
It's not just you and the Pokemon.
Double Dragon meets Pokemon. That's my choice.
I still want to stick with Reality Fighters and Dead Space, but since you brought up Pokemon, I think Pokemon and Resident Evil would be a better one for me.
Ooh.
Because then I could just capture zombies and throw them at people.
I That's choose you, biter zombie guy.
Yeah, go throw up on them.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that'd be cool. I would do that. Cool.
That'd I like be dope. That.
Well, if you're listening, Capcom and Game Freak.
Game Freak, yeah.
And,
make it.
Whoever made Double Dragon.
Oh, I don't. That's Sumi or something like that? I don't even think they're.
I don't even know.
Or Acclaim? I don't know. I don't even
It might be Acclaim that could own. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Whoever owns the rights to Double Dragon, just do it.
I want to meet with you guys. I got an idea for a game. It's called Triple Dragon. Quadruple Dragon. Double Dribble meets Double Dragon. It would be NBA Blitz. That'd be the only one they never made, right? They made NFL Blitz. They did NHL Blitz. NBA Blitz. Which is NBA Jam, except you can't punch people.
Right.
Which is bullshit.
NBA Jam cross Street Fighter cross Tekken.
Right.
Play basketball. A lot of crosses in there.
Too many crosses. People are going to think it's religious. Religious. All right, moving on. We'll skip it. My topic, tech stuff. And how would you pay? Would you buy it, basically? So we'll go first. Oculus Rift. The price is announced at $600. Question number one, do you even have a computer that can run it? Question number two, do you want it bad enough that you would buy a computer so that you could run it? Sam.
No and no.
So you're not interested at all. Are you full PlayStation VR?
Yeah, yeah.
How much are you willing to pay for PlayStation VR?
I'll go with what Rift is going for, because I've played it, I've had my hands on it quite a few times, and I've had my hands on both, but I just like the PlayStation one because I can, I have all my PlayStation stuff that it's accessible to,
right?
And since it was a kind of a standoff in a way, because everyone was waiting to see who was going to price theirs first, right? Someone had to do it.
Yeah,
and Oculus finally did it, and I'm sure you could hear the collective sigh. Everyone's like, "Finally, geez."
Yeah.
Right. So I think PlayStation's going to use that, and they're going to find a way to go under that price bracket.
Right. A lot of people were saying $400.
$400. Yeah, there is $400.
There was the article with Shu where he said they're trying to price it like a console, and my whole argument was, but he didn't specifically, if I recall correctly, reading it. Mention the PS3. He just said they wanted to price it like a console. And my whole theory is, well, if you remember the PS3, which was cell processing, which you can equate to the kind of future tech that VR is, it wasn't cheap. It was like $700 for a PS3.
700, yep.
Yeah.
So is he saying they're trying to keep it at a low price? I think they probably will. I think they'll just take a beating on it, right? They basically broke even on the PS4 when it launched anyways. And my guess is now they make more money because the second iteration of the PS4, it doesn't need the stupid glossy cover, which people would be like, oh, come on, it's a glossy cover. How much more could it add? It adds more. It does. Right. It just does. They got rid of the stupid touch buttons, which I bet saved them
buttons,
a lot.
Yeah.
And they use different RAM instead of, instead of 16 512 chips, it's 8 1 gig chips on the board. So that in and of itself is probably less work for the machines to build the circuit boards, which makes them churn out faster because clearly they're selling a ton of them, despite the people who think that they're not actually selling 39 million PlayStation 4s. Whatever. the fucking Xbox crowd that just will not believe it. Like, from a logistics standpoint, the amount of palms you would have to grease across all of these different companies to make them believe that you've sold 39 million is absurd.
Right.
Like, what do you think? They're just buying them from, like, Amazon.com themselves and just having them shipped places? Because Amazon would question, like, an order for, like, 1,000 PS4s.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That would be immediately halted. And then someone at Amazon would leak it to some news agency Sony's buying thousands of PS4s off their website. Like, it's just stop acting like it's not happening. It's whatever. Like, it's
they're in such denial, dude.
It's ridiculous how, like, the infighting across consoles. I don't get it. Like, we all want to play games. We all want to enjoy them. We all have a preference.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean that one is bad.
No.
Right.
But apparently...
My general fight was usually, it wasn't about what console was better, you know, gaming-wise, because we all love games. It was just... It was the value you were getting for your money while gaming.
Right.
Was my thing. And when PS3, I was telling people for the longest time, they're like, oh, I'm going to spend $300 on this badass Blu-ray player. It's like, well, that PS3 is $300 over there, dude. It's one of the best Blu-ray players on the market.
Right, because it updates, which most Blu-ray players didn't have the ability to be updated for the newer movies as the tech came out.
It's all about what you're getting for your money, man. I mean, and the people that are really laughing about the console wars are the PC gamers.
Right.
Because we all know PC's where it's at, dude.
Yeah, exactly. The PC master race. You know, every time I turn on my computer, I have to update fucking drivers. I mean, it's fine. I update them. I would let it automatically do it, except I just don't trust anything tech anymore. So when it's like, oh, let us just automatically install all these updates and we won't even bother you. No. No, I don't want you doing anything on my computer without my consent. So you can tell me that there's updates, and I will go do that. But why are there updates every day?
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so the Oculus was one of the things. At $600, I can't afford it. If I knew that the games I already played could interface with it, I would be on board, right? Because, like, how cool would it be to play Counter-Strike in VR, right? So that I could look around in the game as a first-person shooter, really, and still not have to, like, actually turn my whole controller, you know, to look in that direction. Because you have to look where you're shooting, which VR breaks that.
Right? PlayStation VR is getting a special version of Until Dawn, right?
Yeah. You also went staticky. Again, I'm not sure.
Of course. But you heard my question, right?
Yes, Rush of Blood. The rail shooter.
Right.
Yeah. It looks weird. I saw it at PSX.
It has like almost nothing to do with Until Dawn, or is it just
much,
an on-rail shooter version?
You're in a like train car shooting the whatever the things were called in Until Dawn.
Yeah, the things.
The Wendigo.
Wendigo, there you go, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the London Getaway looked really cool. I was cool with that. Eve Valkyrie looks really cool. And obviously, so if you buy the Rift, It comes with Eve Valkyrie and whatever Lucky's Tale is. So at least I know that I, for $600, I'm getting one game. And you have to assume PSVR is being bundled with at least one or two games.
What if I told you you could afford both for $20?
Wait, the games or the Rift?
The Rift and the VR. And the games, all for $20.
Are you telling
bucks.
Me that I have to go buy $20 worth of Powerball tickets?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you.
Because I could win $1.3 billion, take the cash option, and then yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, trust me. Oh, I'm well aware of the Powerball. Definitely, if you like, and this is like totally an aside to the like to the Oculus Rift. Like, if you're so against buying lottery tickets, like this would be you would kind of have to be insane not to just spend the $2. It's if
right.
if you never wanted to play the lottery again, the lottery has never been this high. It has never been this high. Like, it's $2. So don't get yourself a fucking Starbucks, whatever. I assumed that Starbucks is
bullshit.
Yeah, because I don't drink coffee. So whatever, get yourself not the coffee and spend the $2 on a lottery ticket. And if you never buy a lottery ticket again, at least you took a chance.
And if
somebody
you win,
has
you
to
buy
win.
Starbucks.
Yeah, and if you win, you could just buy Starbucks.
You know what also would be high after winning that Powerball? Me.
Yeah. Like, I mean...
I developed the worst cocaine habit in like 20 minutes.
Like that guy. You're going to buy cocaine and hookers.
Yeah. Well, that was what I always said, right? So in Massachusetts, you cannot claim the lottery jackpots anonymously. You have to go and, you know, take the pictures and with the big fucking check or whatever. In some states, you can just claim it anonymously. But the thing is, they always ask you, like, what are you going to do with the money? And I always hope that I win so I can just be like cocaine and hookers. Because they'll never want to publish it. But I'll be like, no, seriously, I'm going to go find, like, a coke dealer in Boston. And I'm going to buy a shitload of coke. And then I'm going to call a bunch of prostitutes to a hotel room. Like, that's what I'm going to do.
And I'll sleep and done.
That's my game. That's my game plan.
You're like, I'm making... within the first couple of hours, so I'm going to need call girls, 16 GoPros, a gallon of lube.
Yeah, I'm going to need that 55-gallon drum of lube that's on Amazon. With the pump handle, and I'm going to pay the extra fee for the one-day shipping. I'll have Amazon drone deliver it.
That's like, great.
It's such an absurd amount of money. Like... You get $1.3 billion, and obviously, like, taxes and stuff, and if you take the cash option, which you should really take the cash option, because the cash option now is, like, $900 million. And even if they took half in taxes, that's still, like, $450 million that you net.
Yeah, still a lot of goddamn money.
Like, if you spent $1 million a year, you could live for 450, like, it's 450 years worth of money, right? And if you said, fuck it, I'll spend $2 million a year max, that's my limit. That's still like 225 years worth of money. Like, it's absurd. It's just that it's. I don't know how rich people do it. Like, I feel like I'd get bored. I'd have to be going somewhere every.
They do. That's why they end up with these weird habits and hobbies of, like, you know, paying their servicemen to bring them homeless guys to beat in the middle of the night or something. that's what
I'm
you hear
laughing,
all that.
But that's horrible. Like, I'm laughing. But that's horrible. If that was true, like, and you know what? The sick thing is that totally could be true. Like, there could be people who are like, we'll give you tons of food, but we're building our own fight club.
Yeah, I'm going to beat you up, but I'll feed you.
Right. Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to give you $1 million, but I'm going to kick the shit out of you first.
Yeah, like, I want to kick the shit out of you.
Beat you up first.
You like this, Range Rover? It's yours, but I'm going to knock your teeth out. And trust me, I'll pay for the dental work after. I just, that's the other thing, too, like, you know, when somebody cuts you off, I would be like, fuck it, I'm ramming him. I'm just going to hit him.
I got the money.
And yeah, like, I'll pay for the car. Like, you get out of the car and you'd be like, don't fucking do that again. Here's the cash to fix your car or buy a new one.
Buy you a new car.
You know?
But eat a dick.
Yeah, but thanks for cutting me off. it's like, I'd have, like, no company would want to insure me But I'd be like, it's fine. I pay all my claims.
What are you talking about? Every company would want to insure you, dude. They would hike up your premiums to the stratosphere,
that's
right?
Because
they know you're going to pay everything off, and they're like, yeah, he's kind of self-insured in a way.
Well, that's the thing. Like with like the sports cars, they won't insure the car. They'll only insure like you and personal injury because they're like, we're not buying you a new $2 million Ferrari, but like we'll cover medical bills.
Oh, yeah,
it's like you're out the Ferrari if you crash it. And I'm like, fine, I'll just buy another one.
I know.
You could buy a hotel in Dubai, slightly used, some smoke damage.
That's true. Did they finally put that fire out, though? It was going
know.
For like 2 or 3 days.
The most epic thing is the fact that while this thing is still burning, you know, a mile away, they set off the fireworks at another hotel.
Yeah.
So people are watching the fireworks while this entire
building is on fire. The pictures are wild. It's like, but it's one of those things like they don't care. They
sad,
drive like a, they awful. Drive like 100 miles an hour on the roads in Dubai. It's one of the reasons I'd love to go.
They have ATM machines that dispense gold.
Gold, bars. Yeah.
Seriously?
Yep. You can get gold from an ATM.
All right,
it's crazy.
Then.
Just full of money in
imagine,
that place.
Can you imagine how, the cocktail servers there? They're like, yeah, here's a gold brick.
Yeah, like just. Would you like some gold with your, like, vodka, I guess?
Some gold flakes in there. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, that's what one of the guys from The Nerdist, he went and got gold flakes from one of the ATMs. Because I guess, like, you put it in your, like, you drink it. It just seems like it's your body doesn't benefit from consuming gold. I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
Sam, you are very medically trained. Maybe you can elaborate. Consuming gold.
No, there is no there is no nutritional value to consuming.
It's a nay.
You're just
so going to
like, and
don't...
then you shit it out and you flush it down the toilet, and then it's now just in the ground or a septic tank or something like.
It returns
out
from which it came.
Shit.
Yeah, it returns from where it came. Yeah. And,
the off-topic parts are the best part.
That's true.
That's why I love this podcast.
The only other thing that I was going to bring up tech-wise is so Razer came out with a new laptop, the Razer Blade Stealth. And I sent you guys the link, and it was announced at CES. And so it's basically like the MacBook Air of Razer's computer line. Super thin, it's got an i7, it's a powerful machine, but no onboard graphics card. It plugs into what they call the Razer Core, which they don't even have a price for yet. Which the Core is basically like a mini computer that you can put in a full size graphics card, like a AMD, NVIDIA, whatever.
Yeah.
You put a full size graphics card in that, and then when you're at home, you plug it in, and that's how you play games. And then when you're traveling, you've got a really thin laptop.
Yeah, but you got a really thin laptop. But what do you do?
When you're traveling and you want to play games.
No, this so no graphics, right? I mean,
not
you
built
still have
in.
To plug
no,
it into
not
something.
You have to plug it into the Core. When it's plugged into the Shit. Core, it takes the Core is just
so you
basically
buy the laptop and then buying another.
You buy the Core piece, which attaches to it, and that's basically an external graphics card for the Blade Stealth.
Holy shit! Razer has just destroyed microtransactions and just went with macro transactions.
Alienware already did this. Alienware has a graphics, they call it the like graphics accelerator, and it plugs into all of the different Alienware laptops, and it's got a full-size graphics card in it. The difference is all the Alienware laptops, even the 13-inch model, have fully functional graphics cards in them. And like, so my thing is I don't, like, people were like super psyched about this, and they're freaking out about it, and I'm like, this is the Razer Blade Stealth regular like base end model, which has they call it a QHD screen. It's basically just like it's an HD screen. It's nicer than an HD screen, but whatever. 128 gig SSD drive, and it's $1,000. But no graphics card. I still have to buy the external thing, which we don't know how much. I assume it'll be like $400 or $500, which is around the Alienware's price. But, like, my whole thing is, why am I buying a gaming laptop that I can't game with on the go? That's, like, the whole point of buying a laptop.
It seems like they're just punking people.
Well, my thing is the regular Razor Blade. Like, so the Razor Blade stealth is 0.52 inches thick. 0.52. Mm-hmm. And it weighs 2.75 pounds. The regular Razor Blade laptop is 0.70 inches thick. And it weighs 4.19 pounds. It's not that much thinner, it's like half the weight, not that much thinner. However, the Razer Blade is $2,000. So it's twice the price of the laptop. But you have now a fully functional machine that I can do everything on. You can stream with it. You can game on it. Because they're both i7s, but the Razer Blade has a GTX 970M, which is the 3 GB graphics card. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why would I get it. It's cheap. It's thin. But it's like, to me, it's like the MacBook Air all over again. The MacBook Air is a super thin MacBook, but a regular MacBook, you know, Retina or whatever, is a little bit thicker, albeit still really thin, but it's more powerful. In that... is not an apples to apples comparison, only because the 13-inch Retina doesn't have a built-in graphics card. You have to go to a 15-inch MacBook to get that. However, the Blade versus the Stealth is a 12-inch screen, the Blade is a 14-inch screen, so they're on the same page if you're comparing them that way.
I just realized what you said. You're comparing the Mac to a computer, saying it's not apples to apples. That's funny.
Wow, I didn't even realize I did that.
Yep, you did.
It's totally did. Yeah, you know what? It both figuratively and literally is not apples to apples, because it's razors to apples. But like, I don't know. I want a thin laptop that's easy to move around, but I'm not gonna buy two machines.
Want something with power, but something you could take somewhere.
Well, I want to be able to do everything on the machine. Like, it seems pointless to
buy.
It seems pointless to buy a machine that I can't do everything with. Because if I was going to travel and stream, I can't do it now. I don't even have an onboard graphics card.
I think that's what the smart people are going to say when they look at this product.
Like, I would rather just have the regular Razer Blade, because there's, I mean, we're talking 0.2 inch thickness difference.
Right.
Like, it's not... I know, right? there's not enough there for me. The only benefit is that the Stealth costs less. But it's like, if you want to game, the Stealth is not for you. So it's like, is this Razer's attempt at just creating a machine that appeals to the non-gaming fans that like their products? Right, because they make good products. I like their headsets. I like the keyboard that I have. It's an awesome keyboard. But I just can't see myself buying a machine, buying a gaming computer that can't game without an additional piece of hardware that I cannot take with me. That's my biggest gripe with my MacBook right now. Like, I have a MacBook Pro that's now like 4 or 5 years old, but because it's the 13-inch, it doesn't have a built-in graphics card, so I'm limited to what games I can play. Thankfully, it runs CSGO, so when I travel, that's pretty much the only game I can play. Not a big deal to me. But if I just, I don't want to buy this. Nothing about this is appealing to me. I think it's cool that they have the graphics accelerator, but I look at Alienware's 13-inch laptop, which is also the same price point, $999, but it has a built-in graphics card, which inherently makes it more powerful than the Blade Stealth. Is it thicker? Yes. Is the screen maybe not as nice? I don't know. I'd have to put them both side by side. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's one of those things where you're paying for that size, that you're paying for the form factor, and I just don't see it as a
benefit.
It's, well, to me, it's not beneficial enough.
Yeah.
You know?
Unless
you want to be able to never play games when you travel, because effectively with an onboard Intel graphics chip.
I mean, that's what it could be, though. Like you're saying, it's probably necessarily for someone that's not gaming savvy, more so, I guess, tech savvy, that they want something they can bring with them. that they can
use. I've seen a bunch of gaming people on Twitter being like, I'm excited for this machine. I really want to know about the core thing. And I'm just like, but if you're at home and your like profession is creating content on YouTube,
and you obviously
or
don't.
You probably have a dedicated PC at home that is a beast.
Mm-hmm.
There's just like it's one of those things I don't see where this fits into the market. Maybe it's just me. If I'm at home trying to create content, it's probably not the Razer Blade Stealth, even with that graphics accelerator that I'm going to be doing it on. Because I'm going to want a bigger screen, and yeah, you can plug in an additional monitor, but it's just not. That just doesn't seem like my work machine, right? It seems like it's totally a travel machine that can't do the things that I might want to do when I travel. Like, I don't know. Thoughts?
I think you covered them.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're like me, Doc. You've got a Mac too, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mac.
Like, do you have a gaming, like, laptop or a gaming PC at all, or is it just the iMac? You don't really PC just, game.
Not anymore. I mean, my wife has a super slim PC that I use to sometimes get on Steam with, because I do Steam through my iMac too. But if I have to do anything PC related, I hop on her computer. Mm. But otherwise than that, I got Apple everything.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Everyone's like, "Oh, Apple this." You know, I know that I'm paying a price to have the name.
But you're paying for the name.
I'm paying for the name more than anything. But I know that the products work.
But the product,
and they're simple enough. Right. It's like my problem now is that the second I walk away from Apple, it's going to cost me twice as much.
Yep.
Because I have to buy the computer and now all the software, right? So I do all my video editing and my like design stuff. I do on my Mac because, one, that's what I used when I was at school. So all the software is on it. When I bought the little Alienware Alpha, I bought it because it was cheap. It was $440. And it has a 2 gig graphics card, which plays pretty much all the games I want to play. And I stream with it. And it's, you know, it works. Is it the best? No. Does it work? Yes. It doesn't have to be good. It just has to be good enough. But, like, I can't see myself being like, oh, let me buy a $1,000 laptop that I can't even take with me to play games while I travel. Like, I would rather...
It's beneficial if you're not a gamer, though.
But my thing is Razer's market is the gaming market. It's like, so are they, is this them pulling an Apple, right? Like, hey, we're going to release a product that kind of revolutionizes our industry a bit, but it doesn't really provide our main clientele with what they need, which is a machine that's super powerful for gaming anywhere they want to go. You know, I could use a Razer Blade to do everything. It's got a quad-core i7 and a full graphics card, you know, and more than two USB ports. But like, or maybe it only has two. I don't know. I think it's got more than two. But either way, it's it's got three, whatever. So it beats it by one. I don't know. I just think it just seems like I'm looking at this and I'm just like, it's really cool. I dig that it's really thin. To me, it looks like the MacBook Air all over again. You're releasing the first MacBook Airs, for the people who don't remember, those things fucking sucked. They were so underpowered, but people shelled out thousands of dollars because it was the thinnest computer on the planet. They were Core 2 Duos.
They paid for the name.
They were
product.
Core 2 Duos and had like a 64 gig SSD drive, and it wasn't even like when SSD drives were super great. Like, they weren't nearly as fast. And it had, like, 2 gigs of RAM. I mean, these things were so underpowered. Now, you can get an i7. You can get, like, a 512 SD SSD drive in them. They cruise. Mm-hmm. This, obviously, is coming into the tech scene way, way further down the line, where it has the advantages of, you know, really thin architecture for computer systems. They're removing the graphics card because, one... I mean, I don't know how you could make this machine thinner than a blade and keep it from burning the shit out of someone's legs if it had a real graphics card, right? It would get too hot.
Right.
You know, but to me, it just seems like maybe the technology isn't there to make it thin enough. There's no, like, thin enough mobile graphics card that they could have put in it. But my thing is like, even if you'd said we're only putting a 1 gig graphics card in it so, you know, you can play games on low. But then you've got the people who'd be like, I don't want to play games on low.
Right. I want to go all out.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll sell well and people will buy it because that model, the base model's already sold out. It just says notify me on the page. All the other ones you can add to cart and purchase right now. And that said, the most expensive model is $1,600. But you still have to add in the cost of the, you know, whatever that core thing is. It's like, so you're buying this machine right now that can't play games at all. Can't play games until that thing, that external thing launches. So it's like, now I need two plugs because I need the plug for the core and I need the plug for the laptop. Although I think it might charge the laptop through it, but either way, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to buy another accessory to use with my, you know, laptop just so I can game on the go. Like,
right.
I'm just gonna get the other one. I really don't care.
That's my thing. Is like to me, I look at the Alienware 13 and go, my trade off is size and power, but the price is the same. So, but I don't PC game enough. So. But I would rather have the machine that if I was, you know, if I went to PAX, which obviously I, you know, we go to PAX, and I wanted to do like a stream from the hotel, and it's like, well, the onboard's graphics card might not be able to handle it. It probably could if I was just doing like video, but it just seems, I don't know. That was my whole thing is like there's this new expensive tech coming out and I'm sure people will be early adopters, but I was curious to see what you guys' thoughts were.
Well, there always is with most tech though, you know, because the people that got to have it now got to be the cool kid on the block, you know, they pay that premium to do it.
Right. Like the new iPhones.
Or that LG TV I saw at CES. It's just over a quarter of an inch thick, and it's I think it's OLED, and it's dual sided.
What do you mean dual sided? There's screens on both sides of the TV.
Yes.
Yeah.
What the fuck is the point of that?
Right,
dude. What are you talking about? That's gamer party all over it.
Well, yeah, right, like that's, but like you can't wall mount it unless you want to.
No, yeah, no.
Like, I've never seen a TV set up anywhere in anyone's house where, like, you could view it from two sides of the room. It's always up against the wall.
Oh, yeah, play the Powerball.
Yeah, I'm going to have to play the Powerball and then buy a giant house and put that TV in the middle of it. I mean, it's, like, it's crazy. I'm immediately like, okay, that would work for, like, tournaments and stuff where, like, you've got a ton of TVs in a row. But other than that, I feel like there's no, like, what's the practical application in a home for that? What? So the husband and wife can watch two different shows at the same time, but then you've got to have two different audio outputs, or are you watching the same thing on both? Whatever.
Technology. Yeah, look it up. Look it up later. It's interesting.
That is weird. Oh, there was another crazy thing I saw at a CES. I don't remember what it was, but. Yeah, whatever. I mean, there's tons of crazy things, and people will spend money on them. And you know what? Hopefully, we win the Powerball, and we can each win. Like, maybe all three of us win, and we have to split it. That would be wild.
That'd be awesome, dude.
Crazy. I'd be okay with that if I could split it with you guys.
I'm not against.
But I think we should round it out. Mike, I know you have shout-outs, so feel free to shout them out.
So I've got three friends going to a convention next weekend in Kansas City. The convention is called GTX...
KC.
KC, GTX, yeah.
KC. Kansas City's Gaming and Technology Expo.
I don't know if it's actually backed by Sony, but something like that is what they told me. I don't know.
They could be partnered with them.
Partnered, yeah. And then two of them are artists that are sharing table. One is named CJ. His page is CJ Marsh, artwork of CJ Marsh.
Yep.
And his buddy Seth.
Yep.
Which is Seth Grove's art. Yep. And then my other buddy, who's a cosplayer, but he's not going to be cosplaying, is a Catastrophe Cosplay. He's going to be there.
Cool.
So those are my shout outs.
I've got the links, so they'll be in the...
I gave you the links, yeah.
Yeah, they'll be in the description. Sam, obviously, if you want to plug your stuff, your Twitters, your YouTubes, your Twitch.
Yeah, for those of you that have emailed me, I will actually be putting content on YouTube here pretty soon. I'll start doing it, I promise. Hopefully get a podcast up and rolling for the other emails that I've been getting.
Yep, we're going to do that. We're going to figure it out.
Right. Otherwise than that, I want to shout out to Anheuser-Busch because if they didn't have their products in 12 packs, well, my mom and dad probably wouldn't have had me. So shout out to them. Shout out to my wife, Carrie, who will probably never hear this because she kind of avoids everything I do gaming wise. But the reason I can do all this stuff is because I have this great girl in my life that that allows me to. I mean, she you know takes care of a lot of the things that I miss on, and she still supports all the stuff I do. So yeah, I gotta shout out to her. And besides that, shout out to all the gamers that follow me on Twitter. I appreciate all you guys' feedback. Yeah. And
here, hold up a sec, because you're getting staticky. So I wonder if we wait a second.
I'm gonna get closer to the sun.
Nope, you are still staticky. Worse. It's like it echoes. It's really weird. It's done this before. Yeah. I don't get it.
Is it still doing it?
Yep. It's like Prestige Worldwide.
Echo.
Pretty much, yeah. Voice.
Consume products. Consume products.
But, I mean, we could hear all of the other stuff up until you said shout out to all the gamers out there.
Okay, when it got that's really fine. Staticky.
And now, of course, the static is gone.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. I don't know. But you, so yeah, what's your Twitter, your YouTube? Twitter is
my YouTube's Paramedic Sam. It's easy to find me there. And my Twitter is doc_gamer.
Doc Gamer. There you go. And you can find us at the DGCast on Twitter, youtube.com/c/the DGCast until we get the full YouTube name, which I don't really know how exactly that happens, but twitch.tv/DGCastTV. Sam, do you have a Twitch, right?
Yeah, I should use it. It's doc_gamer too. Oh, okay. But
same thing. You should check out YouTube Gaming. We have to talk about the podcast, so we'll do that, because I got to get you set up.
You know what I need to come back and talk to you guys about? I'm going to be one of the first people to stream the Friday the 13th video game on PS4.
Ooh. Awesome. It's pretty sweet. We will have to talk about that. We'll host a stream and all that fun stuff when you do stream it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mike, is there anything else that you need to say?
No.
No?
I think that's about
it. Sam, thank you for being on the podcast with us today. We appreciate your time. I appreciate your
friendship.
Absolutely,
my pleasure.
Very awesome.
Mike, I think we've done it for episode 52. That is going to be it. And as always, we will catch
Wait.
What?
Let's let Uh-oh. Sam in this one. Let's let Sam in this one.
Okay.
He can do the ending.
Sam, it's been a pleasure. And as always, we will catch you
On the flip.
There we go.